America's army of 10 million alcoholics is increasing every day by 1,500 new recruits. One-third of these are women, by the way. I'll be back in a moment to talk about the alarming trends in a worn-out world. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. One of the most unusual texts in the Bible is found in Ezekiel 7, 5-7, and I'm going to read it now in Moffitt's translation of that verse. "Evil on evil, says the Lord, the Eternal, it is coming. The hour has come. The hour is striking and striking at you. The hour and the end, your doom has come." Now that's talking about the writings of the major prophet Ezekiel. The great book Revelation also, beyond all shadow of doubt or question, makes it clear that we've reached the last days of this earth's history. I think it's almost trite for me today to say that we're living in a crucial or critical time in the history of this world. World War III could break out tomorrow in 5 or 6 different places in the world, and nobody would be surprised. The situation is just that serious. Men have invented fearful weapons of destruction that could destroy millions in minutes if God should permit it. The economic situation is teetering. Fearful race riots rear their ugly heads in many different places in the world. Nature is on the rampage. Just witness the increase of floods, famines, tornadoes, and then, of course, those fearful destructive earthquakes. Nature sometimes seems to go crazy. For further information and confirmation, just consult your evening newspaper. Never before have we been better educated, and yet never in all our history have we been more worried about our problems, and of course much less able to cope with them, than right now in the present. Let's mention just a few of these things now. Let's think about alcoholism for a moment. Now, this is not a problem that's confined only to America. In fact, it exists all over the world. I was reading a report not long ago about certain countries, fringe countries, in fact, behind the Iron Curtain, and they were having a terrible problem with alcoholism, with youngsters from 9 to 14. And here in America, of course, we have at least 10 million alcoholics, and a third of them are women. 1,500 new ones are being made every day. And has anybody offered a solution to this problem? No, indeed, friends, there is no present solution in sight. And then there's the national debt that keeps on increasing and increasing, while nobody seems to know the answers to what we're going to do about it. In fact, it's hardly safe for a baby to be born anymore because he inherits such a great debt. And if it should keep on and on, I suppose as the years go by, we'd come to the time that the first thing a youngster would do when he became of age would be declare bankruptcy because he owed so much on the national debt. Now, this is bad, friends. World conditions are not good, but there's something that's infinitely worse than that, and it has to do with the religious situation of the world. Did you ever stop to think of the 700 million Hindus who live in this world who are bound by the caste system? Try to imagine what the situation is like outside of the United States of America. There are probably about 400 million Buddhists who are also plain idol worshippers, and then there's even more Confucianists who are chained to a dead past, and there's over 200 million fatalists in the world, Mohammedans, and then there are about 800 million ranked pagans in addition to all of these that we've mentioned. And that's not all. You take the religious situation right here in America, friends. In our fair country, a so-called Christian nation, we have at least 300 different religious organizations. And each one of them claims to be the right denomination. All of them teach different doctrines, some of them diametrically opposed to each other, so that if you accept one, the others have to be false. And many are so mixed up and so vague that even their leaders admit that they're simply bogged down on theology and uncertainty. So a lot of people here in our own country are filled with fear and anxiety for looking after the things that are coming on the earth. They are turning their eyes heavenward and saying and asking, has God forgotten us? But friends, listen, God has not forgotten man at all. This is not the problem, actually. Man has forgotten God and forsaken Him. And the truth that God gave us in His Holy Bible Man has substituted his own ideas instead of that. And there's where modernism came from, and ecumenism and humanism and evolution and all the rest of it. These things were invented by the devil with no one thought in mind except that we should have our attention diverted from the things that really count, from the Word of God that contains its life-giving truth. Now, the devil doesn't care much what we believe, as long as we will not believe and know the truth as is given to us in the Scriptures. He has invented, friends, a lot of false ideas that are very stimulating to the mind to get us away from the things that are in the Bible. And by the way, running through a lot of these systems of philosophy and doctrine will be elements of truth. You'll find beautiful words like brotherhood and love and unity and non-prejudicial, non-judgmental ideas. Well, now, friends, this isn't the first time Satan has worked like this. You recall what the Scriptures teach about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, of course. A lot of people have felt that when Jesus was here, there was just one church, the Jewish church. But that's really not quite right. There were many beliefs back in Christ's day, and many of them centered right around Jerusalem, where they had strong centers of worship. The Jewish leaders themselves were divided in their ideas concerning worship and also in their doctrine. There were the Pharisees and the Sadducees as another group, and then the Essenes and the Gnostics and the Herodians. All of them had different ideas, and you remember they all made the same mistake. They began to look at the teachings of men and uphold them instead of the Holy Writ. And Christ commented on this in Matthew 15:3. He said, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" And then in verse 9 he said, "In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." So you see, long ago Jesus said very plainly that worship which has as its basis the commandments of men is really vain worship. It was empty and vain in the days of Christ, in the days of the Jews, and it's still exactly the same way now. But because of this situation, there is confusion in the religious world, untold confusion on every hand. We need to remember that this world situation, crucial and critical as it may be, is no surprise to God. No, indeed. The prophecies all through the Bible have described our day in detail. The Scripture paints a perfect picture of the last days, the end of time. God knew all that was coming and made provision for it. He planned to meet it with a very special message for this special hour in which we find ourselves living. In fact, God has always had a timely, present truth message for each crisis hour in the world. And everyone the church has been called to meet, God has provided a message. And we, of course, call that message a present truth message. Now, that term, by the way, comes right out of the Bible. You'll find it in 2 Peter 1:12. It says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth." Now, friends, notice that expression. The present truth is a term that God Himself invented. It's not something men made up. It's not something a church invented. It's God's idea, present truth. Now, Noah could have preached about the second coming. He could have said, "Friends, many, many hundreds of years in the future, the Lord Jesus is going to come back to this earth in clouds of glory." Now, that would have been true, but it would not have been present truth. It would not have been the vital message for that particular hour. There was only one message that counted back there. After all, the earth was going to be destroyed in the days of those people. And the only thing that really counted was to tell those people that the end was at hand. There was only one way out, and that was to go into the ark. Now, that's an example of present truth. Adam could never have preached that. He would have been too early. It had to come at a certain time, and there was only one man qualified to preach it, Noah. He was living just at the right time. It was the message that applied to those people then, God's great message of present truth. Now, another example is Jonah in Nineveh. You remember God sent Jonah over to Nineveh saying, "That city is so wicked, I'm going to destroy it. You tell them they have 40 days. So Jonah walked over to that city and began to preach. "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. and the next day 39 days, and then 38, 37, 36. Well, now, friends, that was present truth. He could have gone in there and said, now, I'm just coming over here from the university, and I've studied philosophy, and I found a new theory, a wonderful new thought that I want to present to you people. And it might have been true, but there was only one message that really mattered. Nineveh had only 40 days. That was it. Moses could never have preached that. Moses was a great man of God, but he could not have preached, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. He was too early. Peter, who was a mighty preacher, who converted 3,000 people in one sermon, could never have preached, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. It was too late. The message to Nineveh was present truth. It meant that immediate crisis was upon people right then at that time and no other time. John the Baptist is another example. His message was, get ready, because in your day and mine the Messiah is to appear. And the only thing that was really important was preaching that the Savior's coming. There were other things that were important, but that was the key message. John said, we talked about it for centuries, and now in our day he's going to appear. You must hear this very important message. He said, I want you to get ready, prepare for it. And the special message for a special hour was present truth. Somebody before John could never have preached it. They would have been too early. Somebody afterward could never have preached it. They would have been too late. Now, friends, let's come down to our day. The church and the world face the greatest crisis of all time. I'm sure nobody will deny that. If we've ever needed help, we need it today. Of course, the Lord knew that this would be the situation. He wrote the Bible. He knows the end from the beginning. He said, there will come a time in the history of the world when I move in and take things over. But remember, he has made a promise that he will do nothing like that without first giving everyone a warning. Amos 3:7 says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. Now there's a promise that God warns people ahead of time. And he's kept his word. He has a very special message of present truth for the world, and it's found in the book of Revelation. Oh, I know the moment I mention the book of Revelation, some people will have the tendency to say, oh my, the book of Revelation, that's a closed book, a sealed book. Oh, friends, I've heard that many times. But do you know the book of Revelation says just the opposite? The very name Revelation, do you know what that means? It means the uncovering or unveiling, the very opposite of sealing or shutting. It means opening up and revealing. And the very first words of the book of the Revelation says that it is a revelation of Jesus Christ. This last book in the Bible is very special. It's a wonderful way Jesus is presented in all his beauty and majesty. It's the unveiling of things that have been hidden. Let's read a verse from Revelation 22:10. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. You see, God's word says just the opposite. It's not sealed. And then Revelation 1:3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. Well, isn't that interesting? And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.